How is it that someone can be charged with the murder of a person that they did not kill? This story starts with a routine traffic stop.
In 2017, D'Angelo Burgess was pulled over for a minor traffic violation. He was following too close to the car in front of him.
Oklahoma Highway Patrol pulled him over, and the trooper asked Burgess to follow him to his police car. Burgess instead took off in his car.
The trooper took off after him, and the two of them started a high-speed chase up Interstate 35 in Oklahoma, with another trooper following close behind. The three of them were weaving in and out of traffic at speeds exceeding 100 miles per hour. Eventually, Burgess managed to get away from them, but one trooper collided into another trooper, and that trooper ultimately died from his injuries. So the prosecutor in Oklahoma charged D'Angelo Burgess, the driver who fled from the police, with first-degree felony murder.
Burgess was convicted in March and sentenced to life in prison. His lawyers are fighting it, and Burgess has a hearing on May 31st where a judge will decide whether to suspend some part of the sentence or give him the possibility of parole.
In felony murder, if somebody dies while you're committing a felony, even if you didn't kill them or didn't mean to kill them, you can be charged with murder the same as if you actually murdered that person. 42 states have some version of this law, but some states are starting to roll it back because critics say that's really unfair to charge someone as a murderer and sentence them to life like a murderer when they didn't kill anyone and didn't mean to kill anyone.
I mean, the trooper whose car struck and killed Lieutenant Heath Meyer, was he held responsible?
Not at all. In fact, he celebrated Burgess's conviction.
Now, how is that? I just want to understand this, Beth. How is it that the trooper who actually led essentially to this death was not held responsible?
Well, part of the problem is the Oklahoma Highway Patrol's chase policy. Law enforcement agencies are bound by their policy about whether they can chase people who flee from them and in what circumstances. Now, the majority of police departments or law enforcement agencies across the country restrict when an officer can chase somebody. So, for instance, one of the most common policies when an agency will restrict somebody from chasing is they're only allowed to chase if the person is suspected of a violent crime. In those instances, the risk to the public of doing a high-speed police chase is deemed worth it. In other instances, what experts say is the safest thing is just let them go. If it's a traffic violation, it doesn't matter. You've got their license plate number. You can always catch up with them later. It's so dangerous to do a high-speed chase that you really only want to do it if it's really, really worth it as far as public safety is concerned. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol, on the other hand, does not have a restrictive policy. They leave it essentially up to the trooper's discretion whether to chase somebody or not. And the people from the Highway Patrol who testified at Burgess's trial said, yeah, this trooper did the right thing. He followed our policy. And even a supervisor testified that he wouldn't have done anything differently if he had the chance to do it over.
The jury convicted Burgess of felony murder here. Is there any, what's next for him at this point? I mean, does he have the opportunity to appeal this?
Well, he goes before a judge for sentencing this Friday. Because of the rules of first-degree murder in Oklahoma means the judge has almost no options. It's an automatic life sentence, same as if he personally killed someone. The only thing the judge can do is either give him parole or not give him parole or suspend some portion of that life sentence. Of course, he can appeal and he will appeal, but appeals are always an uphill battle.
I'm wondering if there are any other examples of this rule, the felony murder rule, that have led to other folks being incarcerated or convicted of murders that they haven't directly committed.
Oh, sure. There's examples galore, and most of them would shock your average listener. Like, for instance, in 2012, there were four teenagers and a 21-year-old, five young people, who broke into a house in Indiana. They thought the homeowner wasn't home. They didn't have any weapons. And they planned to steal stuff from the house. Well, what they didn't know was that the homeowner was home, and he came downstairs when he heard people in his house, and he shot one of the kids. All of the surviving four kids were convicted of felony murder and are serving decades-long sentences now. There are examples of thieves who steal something from a store and a security officer chases them out of the store, dies of a heart attack. That person is charged with felony murder.
Is felony murder, or is the rule, should I say, being reconsidered as the United States really examines its criminal justice practices?
So the most recent example of a state reconsidering their felony murder rule is California. Just this fall in September, California sort of revamped their felony murder rule to say that only someone who actually kills somebody or who assists somebody in the actual act of killing another person can be charged with felony murder. That's new. California always had a pretty broad felony murder law before that. Pennsylvania is considering a similar change to its laws. And their legislatures in Hawaii and Kentucky have abolished the rule, and there's some courts, Massachusetts and Michigan most recently, that invalidated the felony murder rule in those states. So there are states starting to take another look at this, especially in an era where we're thinking more about mass incarceration and who deserves to go to prison and why.
Beth Schwartz-Apfel is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. Beth, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.